Well, this is the first Sunday of the month, which means the kids get to stay in for the message, which means that I like the kids to come up front. So, kids, you come up front because I have something for you today. Oh, boy, howdy. Keep coming on up here, you kiddos. At up to what age? Well, until there aren't any more room, until they just keep coming. And in your bulletin, there's a bunch of good announcements. Please notice those. Harvest Carnival coming up at BCA. Remember, you don't have to be a student at BCA to come and have a party. We'd be glad to have you there. Well, good stuff. Hey, you were reading in the book of Acts this week, right, church? Do you remember reading this? The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. Do you remember reading that? Acts chapter 2. This week, on October the 8th, I think it is, the second blood moon of this year occurs. It is the second in a tetrad of four blood moons, two happening this year, two happening next year, which amazingly coincide with the festivals of Israel. Passover and Rosh Hashanah. So, or Festival of Shelters?
New Year.
Okay. So we've got two Jewish holidays, which are celebratory times for them. In history, this has only happened a very few times that these blood moons line up with all of these festivals. And really what's happened, historians have gone back and they've looked at what has taken place when this has occurred. So this isn't about prophetic understanding yet. This is about what's actually happened. So if I see what did happen, and it happens over and over and over, then I can kind of conclude that if it's going to happen again, I might see something. Right? So look at what's going on in the Middle East. It looks to me, at any rate, like a melting, boiling pot of activity. I'm not prophesying that anything is about to happen, except that I'm prophesying something is about to happen. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm expectant that something will happen. All right. Now, you ready for your stuff? Are you ready? So while I talk to you, they just are kind of here, right? We know they're going to be listening in, but this is for you. You ready for this, Josh? You ready for this? Jacob, you ready for this? Huh? He says, I don't know. I have just an incredibly important message for you guys today. This could be the most important message you ever hear. Whoa. Did he just say that? What does important mean? What's the word important mean? Anybody want to tell me what? You can tell me the word important. Important is important. It's a correct answer.
To pay attention to because it is necessary and you're
going to
use it later on.
Wow. Wow. Write that down. Any other ideas about what important is?
It's good?
No. Valuable?
Yeah.
If it's important, it's valuable?
Special?
If it's important, it's very special? I'm really working you here. Because this is really important.
Serious.
It's not just special and necessary, excuse me, and beneficial. It's actually very serious. So what could be the most important, special, serious message you could ever hear? And before you answer that, yes, ma'am? Jesus is coming soon. That is correct. But is that the most important message to you? The most important? Could be. So we're reading this week in the wonderful book of Hebrews. And here's what we read. I'm only going to give you just a couple of verses. One verse right out of Hebrews. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we might drift from it. The letter to the Hebrew people was, you should listen very carefully to the truth that you've heard, or you might drift away. What do you think that means? What's drift away mean? Drift into sin. Drift away from the message.
Get farther and farther away from the Lord.
Get farther and farther away from the Lord would certainly be the spiritual application, right? So if there's truth, if there is a truth, any kind of truth, and you drift away from the truth, that's not good, is it? Regardless of what the truth is. Right? So what is the absolutely most important truth? The most important truth. Let's see if you get it right. Put your hand. Oh, nope. I'll keep going and then you can correct me. Maybe. So in the book of Romans, Paul is writing to a church in Rome. But let's not make it sound so fancy that he's writing to this big church in Rome, Italy, or somewhere like. Let's just say he's writing it to us. So we've gathered together the Apostle Paul, who knows what he's talking about, has written a letter to us. Now listen to this. See if this isn't the most important thing you've ever heard. If you, who's the you? Who's the you? You. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you, who's the you, will believe in your heart that what? That God raised him from the dead, then you
shall be saved.
You shall be saved. I'm just asking you now, what could be more important than your salvation to you?
Nothing.
Is this not remarkable when you think about it? And it's not very complicated. How many of us in the room want to be saved? Now, there's an antithetical word. There's a word that sometimes we use in the Bible, sometimes just in our conversation, and we'll say, gosh, I'm lost. Have you ever been lost? It's a terrible feeling being actually lost. It fills you full of fear. You don't know where you are. Right? Being lost is not good. So people who are lost, I think genuinely would agree that they would like to get, they would like to find their way. Right? I don't like being lost. I want to find my way. Make sense? In the Bible, we call that being saved. Being saved? Does that sound pretty important?
Yeah.
I tell you guys, this is the most important message of all of life. Now let's go back and just think about what we said. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Why should you confess that Jesus is Lord? I mean, what facts do you have? Truth? What truth do you have that Jesus is Lord? We got a whole planet out there of people worshiping all kinds of gods. Jesus is certainly not the only God that is claimed by man. In fact, did you know that some places they carve gods out of wood or fashion them out of bronze or silver or they create them out of paper mache or whatever? People make other gods. There's a big religion in the world today called Islam. And they follow a prophet named Muhammad. There's people in India that are called Hindus. And they worship a lot of different gods. They've got thousands of gods. Why should you believe that Jesus is Lord? because your parents told you. Because the pastor beat it on you in church. No. How do you know Jesus is Lord? How does it? Yes, ma'am? Well, the Bible does tell us that Jesus is Lord. That is correct. So, let's say you and I are friends, and you're trying to tell me that Jesus is Lord, that you believe in him. And I say to you, well, how do you know? And you say to me, well, because the Bible says so. Right? And I say to you, Bible schmeible. There's lots of books out there. Right? What about all the other books that don't talk about Jesus, that say some other God is God? Why should I believe in your Bible? Ooh, this is big stuff. Well, because I was raised in a Christian home. Duh. What if you'd been raised in a Hindu home? And you were a good daughter of a Hindu couple, and you believed in 10,000 gods. And here comes some missionary saying, no, 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 Jesus is Lord. What facts do we have that Jesus is Lord? Joshy, you got a fact for why Jesus is Lord? I'm with you. Take your hand down, tell me. You're working on it. You're working on it. Can I help you out? Can I help you out? He did do that. What facts do you have that 2 plus 2 equals
4?
No, wait a minute. You've memorized that. What facts do you have that 2 and 2 is 4?
First of all, our teachers taught us that. And then everyone else in the world believes that.
Fairly compelling. What if they're all wrong? What empirical, what absolute facts do we have that 2 and 2 is 4?
You can count. You go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow! We can do this! We can prove that 2 and 2 is 4 just with our own hands. Undeniable. So somebody can argue all day long, say it's not true, and you can say, well, I pray for you, but yes, it is. Well, what facts do you have? It's actually in the verse I quoted. What facts do you have that Jesus is Lord? Think about the verse. Hey, Joshy, think about the verse. Do you remember the verse? Here's what I said. I said, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved.
Okay.
Yeah, any fact in there as to why Jesus is Lord?
He's God's son.
He is God's son. That's absolutely true. Was that in the verse? So we're looking for the fact in the verse.
Because he rose again.
Give me 5. You win a million blessings. The fact that we know that Jesus is Lord. Here's why I'm telling you, this is the most important thing you're going to learn. Probably ever. Because you're going to keep meeting people the whole rest of your life that don't agree with you and stuff. Right? There's people that don't believe what we believe. But what facts do we have that Jesus is Lord? Because God raised him from the dead. God raised him from what? From dead. And he didn't just stay dead and then shoot off to heaven where nobody could figure anything out. He came back and he visited this place. And he spent, 40 days post-dead, right, after death, talking and working miracles and loving on people and kind of telling us the way. The most important thing you're ever going to learn, ever, ever, is that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And no other God claims such. Wooden gods, bronze gods, or man-made gods, the gods that men create with their thinking, They weren't raised from the dead. So what I'm saying to you is, you can stand on this truth, and then, yes, ma'am, you are correct, we can believe in that book, can't we? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus was raised from the dead. But do you know the Bible isn't the only place that tells us Jesus was raised from the dead? There are other historian writers, people who lived at the time. One of the most famous of those guys is a guy named, I can't pronounce his Flavius because it's a Greek. His name was Josephus. 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 He wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't a Christian at the time when he was recording the Jewish history. And he pointed out, listen to this. This is what Josephus writes. There was a king at the time by the name of Tiberius. Any of you historians know about Tiberius? So there was a king by the name of Tiberius. And he was ruling at the time that Herod got upset with the Pharisees and told Pontius Pilate to take care of business. What did Pontius Pilate do? Do we know what Pontius Pilate did?
Jesus.
He what?
Jesus.
He let the Romans crucify Jesus Christ. So who did the crucifixion?
He did.
The Romans.
The Romans. Yeah.
The Romans did the crucifixion because the Pharisees put a lot of pressure on Pilate. My point is, this is recorded. You can read this stuff in the history books. So if it's all recorded that this guy, a traveling preacher from Nazareth, who allegedly worked a lot of miracles, if it has been factually proven that he was raised from the dead, we would have to say that was a God thing, wouldn't we? And then we could trust that what he said was true, couldn't we? So what could be more important? In any of your adult lives, what could be more important than the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That you believe it might be the most important, more important. That I believe it. I have to default to a bit of a Skip Heine parallel here, because I say to the people that don't believe it, how's that working for you? Exactly. Exactly. It's okay, church, to take your faith and the things that you're working on in your life, the troubles you've got, the ponderings you're pondering, it's okay to take that stuff to God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I think I'll quit my job and just stay at home. And the boss comes and said, please don't quit your job. I'll give you more money. I'll give you a computer. You can stay at home. You can work from 1 a.m. to 3. I don't care what you do. Just please. Now, that's a God thing.
Absolutely.
Do you have any God things in your life? I'm just thinking about them. Cousin Larry was here. He'd be saying, what's your testimony? Well, your testimony is the God things that have happened in your life. What I tend to think about too often is where maybe God's let me down. I prayed such and such a prayer. It didn't work out the way I wanted. I asked God for such and such, I didn't get it. And even if I'm not being selfish, let's say I'm being magnanimous, I'm praying for one of you, and it doesn't work out the way you want it. What kind of a shepherd am I? Do you see how this could work? Well, who's in charge? Who's in charge? God's in charge. Who's the great Father? God. Who knows best? Father knows best. Right?
He doesn't want you to go down that path. He may not want you to go down there. So you don't see it. You think that's what you, the selfish human, wants. But God knows You don't want that.
How old are you? How old are you?
11.
11, let's say 25, that's 14 years. 14 years, 69, 83? I can't make it. Thank you, kids, for coming up. The most important thing is?
God saved you.
God saved you.
Wow. The resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation. Amen? Amen. Okay, I thank you all for enduring the message this morning, but I submit to you that it might be your most important thing as well. Thank you for being here this morning. We give praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you are dismissed for fellowship. Hallelujah.